Introduction to Death of a Poi. Every once in a while, George Sidders of Asimov likes to publish short and outrageous stories, and every once in a while, I like to write one. So I wrote Death of a Poi, and sent it off to George, hardly able to stop laughing long enough to seal the envelope. You can imagine my indignation when George rejected it. Actually, it was good that he did. I don't want anyone to think that the appearance in my own magazine of any story I write is a foregone conclusion. George has strict orders to reject anything of mine he doesn't like. He accepts that situation, and so do I. Making a few cursory remarks under my breath, I sent the story on to Ed Furman at the Magazine of Fantasy and Science Fiction, hereafter to be referred to as F and SF. Fortunately, he managed to stop laughing long enough to write out a check, and it appeared in the October 1980 F and SF. Story 4. Death of a Poi. It was extremely unusual for a poi to be dying on Earth. They were the highest social class on their planet, with a name which was pronounced, as nearly as earthly throats could make the sound, Thorty Bacon Street, and were virtually immortal. Every poi, of course, came to voluntary death eventually, and this one had given up because of an ill-starred love affair, if you can call it a love affair where five individuals, in order to reproduce, must indulge in a year-long mental contact. Apparently, he himself had not fit into the contact after several months of trying, and it had broken his heart, or heart, for he had five. All poys had five large hearts, and there was speculation that it was this that made them virtually immortal. Maud Briscoe, Earth's most renowned surgeon, wanted those hearts. "It can't be just their number and size, Duane," she said to her chief assistant. "It has to be something physiological or biochemical. I must have them."
"I don't know if we can manage that," said Duane Johnson. "I've been speaking to him earnestly, trying to overcome the poi taboo against dismemberment after death. I've had to play on the feeling of tragedy any poi would have over death away from home. And I've had to lie to him, Maud."
"Lie?"
"I told him that after death, there would be a dirge sung for him by the world-famous choir, led by Harold J. Gassenbaum. I told him that by earthly belief, this would mean that his astral essence would be instantaneously wafted back through hyperspace to his home planet of sort of, what's his name, provided he would sign a release allowing you, Maud, to have his heart for scientific investigation."
"Don't tell me he believed that horse excrement," said Maud.
"Well, you know this modern attitude about accepting the myths and beliefs of intelligent aliens. It wouldn't have been polite for him not to believe me. Besides, the poys have a profound admiration for terrestrial science, and I think this one is a little flattered that we should want his heart. He promised to consider the suggestion, and I hope he decides soon because he can't live more than another day or so, and we must have his permission by interstellar law, and the heart must be fresh and... Ah! His signal!" Duane Johnson moved in with smooth and noiseless speed.
"Yes," he whispered, unobtrusively turning on the holographic recording device, in case the poi wished to grant permission. The poi's large, gnarled, rather tree-like body lay motionless on the bed. The bulging eyes palpitated, all five of them, as they rose, each on its stalk, and turned toward Duane. The poi's voice had a strange tone, and the lipless edges of his open round mouth did not move, but the words formed perfectly. His eyes were making the foian gesture of assent as he said,
"Give my big heart to Maud, Duane. Dismember me for Harold's choir. Tell all the poys on Thorty Bacon Street that I will soon be there.